Hi everyone, I'm Diane Shea and I'm a member of the preaching team here at St Michael's. My previous sermon back in March was the week before shutdown in Victoria. It was live streamed, but I was still speaking mainly to people in pews. It was a fairly typical sermon structure for me. I did some talking, there were group chats and digital interactive group feedback. Do you have any idea how hard preparing this sermon was for me? Where's my group chats? Where's my real-time quiz or word cloud? Not to mention, what's with me having to do all the work? I admit I thought about getting fancy and embedding a Q&A in the PowerPoint, and then I thought, really, Diane? You're live streaming. If they've got a device handy, they can post their comments and questions. We're not exactly disconnected. Between Facebook, YouTube, Insta, live chat, Zoom dinners and study groups, WhatsApp, and plain old email, there's plenty of ways for you to join in and engage. So go for it, especially if you want to raise questions or suggest practical acts of mission. I'll leave it to Steve to look at it all later. Today, we're looking at John 17 and Jesus' farewell prayer. Let's dive straight into the text because there's a bit to get our heads around in this fistful of verses. John chapter 17, starting with verses 1 to 3 and then jumping to 20 to 26. I'll focus on things that John highlights in his text, the setting, the action and the relationships. The setting is part of a long discourse between Jesus and his disciples at the end of that fateful, final Passover meal. Jesus is preparing his followers for what is to come. Not just his death and resurrection, but the coming of the Holy Spirit. He will give them peace, and they are to take courage because of what Jesus has achieved through his time on earth. And then Jesus prays. Now we know from the Gospels that Jesus prays, but this is the longest record we have of what and how he prayed. Here, Jesus is praying aloud, and it's intentional that his disciples can hear him. The disciples aren't eavesdropping on his prayer. It isn't private prayer like he talks about in Matthew 6 when he admonishes hypocritical praying out loud that glorifies the prayer and not God. Nor is it leading in prayer, although when you pray this chapter out loud, and I encourage you to do that this week, there are hints that perhaps John used it in his churches to lead congregational praying. But here in his hearing Jesus pray this prayer for the first time. He, Jesus, looked up to heaven, a Jewish prayer attitude, like we would close our eyes, and said, Father, the hour has come. Jesus has completed everything he came into the world to do, except the final act of salvation. Glorify your Son, so that the Son may glorify you. Jesus prays that his obedience to the Father in this hour will bring glory to God. It also acknowledges the incarnation. Jesus emptied himself of heavenly glory. He is anticipating the completion of his work on earth and the resumption of his glory. You have given him, that is the Son, authority over all people, referring to his divine authority.